when Rome was burning and the end of Rome, the senators had the discussion if angels were feminine or masculine. So that must remind you to what's going on right now, right? These things usually mean the end of a civilization. And it usually ends with taking up too much debt to keep the people happy because they don't want to work at heart anymore. And very weak leadership. And it's all coming back cyclically in what happened before. So if you look a little bit at history, you know exactly what you can expect.
Welcome to another episode of Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American Magazine. We have a very special guest today, one of the leading technical analysts in the world. His name is Charles Nenner. He's with the Charles Nenner Research Center. The Financial Post called it one of the top technical research firms in North America. And Dr. Nenner himself was named one of the legendary technical analysts by Forbes. He's got a unique system that was developed by him and used by Goldman Sachs and several other major banks around the world. He was actually trained as a medical doctor. He was first a surgeon, later a psychiatrist, and went to Wall Street and discovered some really interesting things involving cycles and financial markets. And he developed actually an algorithm that combines this cycle with several other indicators and comes up with some really, really interesting data and information. And so he's been with Merrill Lynch out of their Amsterdam office. He actually graduated from the University of Amsterdam's medical school. He's been the director of research at Windsor, New York. And now he is the founder and president of the Charles Nenner Research Center. Dr. Nenner, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm wondering if you could talk to us about these cycles that you see, especially as it relates to war cycles. Where do you suppose it's going now with Ukraine and NATO and Russia? Do you get anything out of your technical analysis and your algorithms?
Yes, definitely. I was working on the cycle wars that start in the Mandarin Empire about 3,000 years ago. And my work has long-term cycles and short-term cycles. So you have big wars and small wars in between. This all is based on the fact that things don't move at random. If you never know what's going to happen next, you cannot make any prediction. So, but when you assume that things don't happen at random, then you can take a look. I think it took thousands of years until Newton saw that the apple falls down, and then he made a theory out of it. And if he would have thought it happens at random, he would have never have come up with it. So this is a bit against what they teach us in society. We're conditioned to think different. We're conditioned to think we're in charge. And we make our own ideas. And if you think that, you don't get anywhere. So I did for some head of states, I started working on war cycles. And to give you a very simple war cycle that everybody can check is that about 10, 15 years ago, I think it was on Fox, I mentioned that in the second decade of new century, there should be a big war, which is going on now. And if you go back 100 years, then you have the First World War that was continued in the Second World War. And if you go down 100 years, you get Napoleon War who tried to take over Europe. And if it's very interesting, if you Google and you say major wars around the second decade of the new century, you can go back to the year 400, 500, and you find every time a war. Now, in between, there are also wars. That is a smaller cycle. I just want to bring up the idea that it's very strange that every time in the second decade of a new century, there starts be a very difficult situation, and the chances of a big war are there. Just to get a feel for the fact that things don't move at random, and then we can continue to look using my algorithm, which we usually use for the financial markets, to find the next war.
That is fascinating. And so do you suspect that this conflict involving Russia and Ukraine may grow into something larger, or do you think it's going to move somewhere else? Or what do you think? Are we likely to see now an expansion of this war into some sort of catastrophic global conflagration?
Well, my cycle showed that it's going to be like a status quo, kind of neutral right now. And it's going to pick up again in the middle of next year because another cycle is bottoming by the end of next year. Based on what I understand is that I think we're going to have the world in two different parts, which happened also in the First World War and the Second World War. the countries use certain small countries in order to set the stage, which is happening now. And I think we're looking for a combination soon of Russia, China, Korea, North Korea, and Iran against what we would call the West. And Ukraine is just a trial out what's going to happen. So I think we're in a very dangerous situation. On top of that, we have a 60 years of social unrest cycle. Maybe you remember, I mean, you're much younger than me, you don't remember, but in the 60s was the last big social unrest. And the 60 years is over, so now we have the new social unrest. So especially for the United States, it's going to be a very dangerous period from inside and from outside.
So you mentioned social unrest. I was going to ask you about that. What does that look like? I mean, in 2020, of course, we had the racial unrest across many U.S. cities with the Black Lives Matter and the defund the police movement. Do you expect that will continue to grow or something different? It could even end up in a civil war.
Yeah, I wrote an article that when Rome was burning, and the end of Rome, the senators had the discussion if angels were feminine or masculine. So that must remind you to what's going on right now, right? That's our big issue. Which toilet are we going to use and where? So these things usually mean the end of a civilization. Now, there is another cycle that is about 250 years long. And every start of a new civilization usually ends after 250 years, which is up now if you start with a civil war in the United States. And it usually ends with taking up too much debt to keep the people happy because they don't want to work at heart anymore. And very weak leadership. And it's all coming back cyclically in what happened before. So if you look a little bit at history, you know exactly what you can expect.
Yeah, it seems so terrible to think that there are just these impersonal forces and we're just kind of victims of these cycles. Is there any way out of this trap or is it kind of inevitable based on your research?
Well, you know, that my answer usually is after summer comes winter, you can't change it, but you can buy a winter coat.
Okay. So how do we buy a winter coat? How do we prepare for what's coming?
Well, it's very difficult because like I am Dutch, so I don't really have an opinion about the United States. But what I saw is that you have now people who are eating the Bible. I told my wife, I says, now I know when the Jews were in the desert, what did they eat? They ate the Bible. So that's something to eat. So I don't even know how extreme things are going to be. What I see is there's a whole generation brought up that doesn't really let you say what you want anymore. The free speech is really in danger in the United States. And that usually leads to far consequences. If it's a civil war, I don't know, but there could be a group that says, you know, I take my rights. And the United States is a country where every other person has a fire gun. So I think it's a dangerous situation. And then depending on the cycles, you can more or less predict when it's going to blow up, when the whole thing is going to go wrong.
And as far as the financial markets go, what is your algorithm? What is your method and your analysis telling you? Are we headed for economic problems or should I say bigger economic problems than what we're dealing with already?
We're heading for big economic problems. The Fed presidents knew it coming for the last 20 years and everybody thought not in my time. So they start printing money, which usually happens also at the end of a civilization. Mm. And the debt is so huge. There is actually no way back anymore. But a simple calculation can tell you what you can expect. If you take the market from, the Dow Jones from 1900, it goes up with an average of 7%. So if you go to your broker, he says, should I put some money in stocks? He says, well, yeah, it makes 7% a year. That's on the average. Now we're about 60% above the average. 70%. That means is if you want to go back only to the medium 7%, you have to go down 70%. Mm. So the slogan buy low and sell high doesn't mean much for people because they know when it's low and it's high. Mm. But based on only this indicator, it's high and there's not much room on the upside.
So are there any asset classes that you think will be, I know everybody right now is trying to figure out like where do we put our money? Stocks don't look good. Bonds don't look good. Precious metals even have been going down. Cryptocurrency. Is there any asset class that you think might be safer or more resilient than others?
Yeah, we had a downside target for gold in the 1600s, and it's getting there. And my cycle showed that by the end of the year, the gold market will start a new run up. So that is the place to be in the metals. It's very strange for people. They don't understand there's inflation and there's war cycles and there's a mess, but gold doesn't go up simply because the cycles are not up yet. They're still down. But once they start turning up, that's the place to be for the moment.
Very good. Dr. Nenner, anything else you want to share with us? Anything else that your analysis is showing that you think would be important for people to understand or to know about or to be prepared for even?
Well, it's, the only thing I can tell people is that my theory, I repeat it, is based on things don't move at random. If you want to see how it works, you can always go to our website and we explain how it is. And then you don't have to listen to the news of today or tomorrow because that actually doesn't influence. Let me give you one last example. Let's say you and I own IBM, and IBM goes up 50% in a year, and IBM comes out with a great growth expectation. Now, the IBM can go up and down. If it goes up, then the Wall Street Journal will write, people poured into IBM because they're doing great. But now the numbers are still great. So how does IBM go down? Well, the Wall Street Journal will write, people took profit because they don't think they can do better next year, which means is the interpretation of the facts based on cycles is more important than the facts themselves. So we make the facts ourselves based on the interpretation. And as long as you don't know the interpretation, you can listen to all the news, but it's not going to help you to know what's going to happen in the future.
Okay, very good. Well, before we let you go, I just have a question about human nature. I mean, why do these cycles happen? What is it about humanity, mankind? Do you have any idea, any theory to explain why we see these cycles in human civilization?
Yeah, now we go very far because when I was doing my work, I had a friend who was an astronomer. And he says, oh, these cycles just look like the sunspot intensity of the sun. And we start working on that. And what I can tell you is there's an intensity of the sun called the sunspot cycle. If you want to know ahead where it's going, you can go to NASA and go to the website because they know usually a couple of weeks ahead. And that sunspot intensity creates a magnetic field over here down our world. And the crystallization of water has to do with what the intensity is. And since our brain are like 80% of water, we think that we have freedom of thinking, but it's based on the intensity of the sunspots. So there is a physical component of all the work that I do. So it's actually built in nature, the cycles, and that goes further. That's based on what the nature is of the sun and the sunspot intensity. I'm sure there's much more. I just don't have time to look further into it. So there is a basis to understanding cycles.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Nenner, I want to thank you very much for coming on the program with us today, sharing your insights, very valuable information. And you, of course, are with the Charles Nenner Research Center. What's the best way for people to follow your work? Just go to the website or are you on social media?
Go to charlesnenner.com and we give 30 days free. And it's just interesting. People don't have to become a subscriber. It's interesting to see how you can approach financial markets and social unrest cycles and just to see what is out there.
Excellent. Dr. Nenner, thank you so much. All right, folks, that was Charles Nenner, the founder and chief of the Charles Nenner Research Center. This is Alex Newman for Conversations That Matter at the New American Magazine. Thank you for tuning in. Till next time, God bless you all.